Well, good morning. Here we are. It's Sunday. Yes. Sunday. Fun day. Oh, fun day. Yeah, it's Sunday. Yes. It's a fun day in the church today. That would certainly be a switch, wouldn't it? It's a fun day in the church today. But it should be a celebration of our faith, you know, a celebration of what God has done and of how he has worked in our lives and how he has kept us for another week and how that he has good things in store and great things planned. And, you know, this is just the beginning and we're continuing to redirect and refocus our life and see how God is working and how he's going to continue to work. And so we're excited about not only what he has done, but where he's taking us, you know. So it should be an exciting relational experience with God, you know. Amen. Thank you. one guy said, sometimes we think that we're like Noah. After about 3 months in the ark with his wife and family, you know, he was kind of penned in, you know. So this is not what life is about. So it's about God and how that God is working in our life, and it's all good. Well, today we are looking at Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Now, it's hard for us to imagine doing good on a particular day, especially the Sabbath day, which was Saturday for the Jewish people, how that doing good for someone is can be considered out of place. You know, it's something that should not be done, and that if it is done, you are breaking the law of God. All right, so here's God, Christ, breaking the law, as it were, of what he gave, but he's not breaking the law. He's actually fulfilling the law, and he's seeing how that we're seeing how that Jesus, how that he confronted the Pharisees and the Sadducees at the time, because these were the law people. They were the ones who kept every little bit of the law, and they were so structured they had starch in their underwear. Yeah, well, you had the Ten Commandments, and then you had what in Leviticus, how that God had put the tabernacle in place, and how that they were to go through ceremonial cleansings, and how that they were to honor the Sabbath day, how that they were to sacrifice animals, and you know, for sins and the sins of the people. Well, what they were doing, God had chosen Israel to be set apart. Now, whenever we are set apart, that what keeps us set apart? We are set apart because of how we live, how that we think, and how that we approach life and approach God. Well, the children of Israel were people who were set apart, and then God had established these laws, these rules that made them distinct from other people. You know, gave them a purpose and gave them some direction as to how they were to conduct themselves, how they were to approach God, believe in God, and how that God was going to work in their life. And so they were set apart. So if you look at how these rules, the Ten Commandments, how these laws helped them to direct their lives. You see, having a standard, having a, you know, it's like, in the middle of the winter, close the door. Why? Well, you're letting all the heat out. Well, that's just, you know, so it's a very common thing. If you're paying the heating bill, you want the door closed. But if people who don't pay the heating bill, they don't care if the door's closed or not, you know? So what we're doing is setting our neighbor doesn't close the door. Why do I have to close the door? No, they don't have to pay the bill. So I'm paying so much they owe me, and they open the window, and you know, all the heat's going out, and you know. So, but you see, we look at things and we say, well, our neighbor, they do this, you know, why can't I? Well, for the children of Israel, their neighbors, they had idols and things that they worshipped, and they would sacrifice their children. Okay, they're going to go, let's, you know, our God, it hasn't rained for a while, so the god Moloch, he was this, they built a statue, I think it was Moloch, they built a statue to him, and he was like one of these gods that they would do, you know, like this, and they would put the fire in his, you know, in his inner part and build this fire, and then they would throw their children to the god and kill their children to prove that they loved their God and that they were asking that piece of metal that they had created to take care of them and make it rain, you know? So if we're good to Moloch, Moloch will be good to us, you know? Might as well pull up a tree and pray to the tree, you know? Well, for the children of Israel, they had a God who was God Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that it was this God that proved to the children of Israel that he was their God, and whenever they would venture away from their practices that God had said, well, then God said, well, then I'm going to withdraw my protection from you, and you're going to go into captivity, or this neighboring country is going to conquer you until you decide that you want me to come back into your life, and then Israel would repent and turn their life back to God, and God would deliver them from their enemies, from their oppressors. Now, for us, what we have is God delivers us from the oppression of sin, from the oppression of wrong thinking, you know, from the oppression of doing wrong things. You know, people that are in prison are there because they did wrong things. Now, I'm sure some are there innocent, you know. It's like the one chaplain said, you know, he's a prison chaplain, he said, I can't believe how many people in here didn't do anything wrong. They were convicted and whatever, but you know, 90% of the people in there never did a thing wrong, you know? Well, whenever you are, so we could consider them oppressed. They're oppressed by the law, suppressed by the law for the evil deeds, and that when they pay their, what the law says is a punishment, they will then be released to back into society to make choices again. So where we are in our life is basically the choices that we've made. You made a choice to be here today. Well, you know, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Vote of confidence. You remember I told you about the one guy, he was talking, you know, he's raised, you know, he was in Bible school or whatever, and they were all, some of them were giving their testimonies as to where they came from, and the one guy says, well, you know, I had a drug problem when I was a kid. And they said, oh, yeah, we thought that wasn't you. He said, yeah, I was drugged to church on Sunday morning. I was drugged to church on Sunday night. I was drugged to church on Wednesday night. And he said, but that drug problem made a lasting impression on my heart that has changed me for the rest of my life. So here we have people doing heroin and doing that types of drugs that changes their lives for the rest of their life to a dependency and a destructive behavior to their lives and the lives of others. So that drug problem will destroy you, but the establishment of what is truth, God's rules, God's laws in our heart, is to protect us. And so here's the Jewish people, the Pharisees and Sadducees. They are keeping the laws of God intact so that they themselves will be seen as the elite in favor of God. So they had totally missed out on what God's intention was. That God's intention was to change their heart, not just change their actions. See? So people can act the right way, but in their heart, they don't really care. You know, the little boy that stood up and, you know, he's standing up in church and his parents wanted him to sit down, stand up. You know, so they put him down. He says, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. So anyhow, those are some old stories. So as we have moved in through the five lessons of the Gospel of Luke here, We have witnessed the compassion that Jesus has and how that he is moved with compassion towards other people, and especially to the people who are in need, all right? People who need him to restore, heal, bring back to life, take an illness that's been there for 12 years and heal it for the woman who had the issue of blood. And then there again, 12 years this woman has been sick, and a 12-year-old daughter is dying, and Jesus is moved with compassion to heal both, to restore both. Well, the Mosaic Law was spelled out some endless restrictions. I mean, they had so many requirements. It's almost like you can apply for credit, but where was that? You had to fill out 30 different forms, and then you had to fill it out again. You know, it's like, what do you want? You know. So, well, in this case, they had 30 different forms of all different rules, and some of these people, the Pharisees especially, they saw themselves as the keeper of all the 811 rules. You know, so they had 811 rules that they memorized and that they had in place that they would not break. And so anyone then who would break these laws was up for punishment and set out to be, the Pharisees would set out to set them straight. Well, along comes Jesus, and he doesn't come to the Pharisees and tell them, I'm coming here to sign up for your 811 laws so you people will accept me. Jesus came as the Son of God to bring God to the people and bring them back from what they had made God. They made God 811 rules, and Jesus is coming and saying that, you know, the greatest commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so here we are. Jesus is acting on compassion, and here are the Pharisees saying, he's not doing it right. And then there is the Herodians. I forgot about this political party. The Herodians supported the dynasty of Herod and often made a common cause with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees found problems with Jesus, and the Herodians, they were supporting the king, and Jesus was saying he was king, so all three groups would gather together against Christ. So anybody who was anyone in a political system in that time was against Jesus because he was breaking the laws. But who did Jesus? He came to the sinners and the people who were considered excluded from the laws. So the Sadducees felt that his messianic claims were a threat to the Jewish religious establishment. Isn't it something that when people feel that their religion is the only way, and they are so antagonistic towards other Christians. Like I said, I was at my family reunion, not a reunion, an 80th birthday, and I have some relatives that are, very opinionated in their religious beliefs, and of course, you know, and antagonistic towards people who are not of their particular faith. And, you know, they're Christian, but, you know, and they just, it's like, really? You know? one person said, I come in and he said, well, how are you enjoying retirement? I said, well, I'm not retired. I still have my church and I still work at the hospital. He says, you are so greedy. He's telling me how greedy I am for working and how that I should not be working. And, you know, he's kind of like, you're religious and you're greedy like that, still working? And I thought, thank you. Nice to see you too. I enjoyed the visit. Yeah. See you another 80 years, you know. It's just, but how that people can have opinions and be completely off base as to what they're thinking. Do you ever meet anybody like that? They have an opinion, and their opinions are so correct, you are so wrong, and you know, it's like, oh, let me repent of that and quit everything for you, you know? Sorry. I thought I was helping. But here, The truth is, he's just greedy. And I'm like, well, I don't think so. But anyhow, all these three groups found Jesus' messianic claims unsupportable. Jesus cannot be the Messiah that he didn't meet all the prophetic rules, and of course he didn't even come from the right place, and he's born and he doesn't have a father. You know, this guy is, he's totally off the wall. He is not the Messiah. He doesn't dress right. He doesn't. He wears a robe and sandals. These guys have religious garb that, you know, set them apart from other people. And they're just, you know, just anything that they could to find trouble with Jesus. So, if I forget that the situation that we have in the scriptures today, it is felt that the Pharisees invited Jesus to dinner. And they found the sick man. Okay, they found this guy who's sick. He's doubled over. He's obviously, you know. And they invite him. So he's a plant. He's a plant there for when Jesus walks in. Here's this sick guy all bent over, and it's the Sabbath, and they have Jesus right where they want him. they set him up so that they could accuse him of breaking the law. So they were going to use the compassion of Jesus to use it against him in the scripture that we have today. So each group, they just found many different reasons to say that Jesus was not the correct one. And they would join themselves together to try and find false evidence and everything they could to say that Jesus was not the Messiah. And so as Jesus made his way, his last trip from Galilee to Jerusalem, okay, Jesus is well aware of all the things that's going on. He's aware of the plots of people, and he's aware of what they're trying to do. And he tried to make his disciples, help his disciples understand what was going on. Now, think of it this way. God is trying to help us understand our life. You know, God is trying to help us understand our life and what's coming. Because we have the distinct ability to pass judgment on where we're at and where we've been. God is preparing us for where we are to take us where he wants us to go. And our future is not set in stone, it is set in our heart and set in our mind. And how that we think and how that we process truth will determine where we go. Now, God wants us to see things correctly, just as he wants the Pharisees and the Sadducees to understand what's going on in their life and understand what he's there for. So, a major objection to Jesus arose from the Pharisees, and they saw his disrespect for the Sabbath as totally unacceptable. You know, the Sabbath is set apart for, you know, God set it apart, and you can't do anything on the Sabbath, okay? So they had all their rules and regulations for the Sabbath, Saturday. They weren't allowed to, you know, anything. They wrote rules about the Saturday and the Sabbath day and how that you were to live your life and do, okay? If you broke any of those rules, you were in trouble. So we would consider such things as compassionate ministries as acceptable, no matter what the day. You know, even Sunday or Christmas, compassionate ministries are considered, that's part of who we are. So, so since they had witnessed Jesus healing on the Sabbath before, they were going to set him up to heal on the Sabbath this day in front of all of them, and they were going to get him. So, the two incidents at the center of the lesson today occur on the Sabbath, the first in the synagogue, and the other during dinner. So they have, not only is Jesus going to break the Sabbath, he's going to do it in the synagogue in the presence of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and then he's going to break the Sabbath in the presence of a Pharisee who has invited Jesus to be there, and he's setting him up. So, thoughts, questions? Yeah, even people who are understand and have received Christ as their Savior can still be very judgmental. What happens is, what do I have to do to be saved? Now, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Well, what happens is, we think that I've got to do something and God will like me. You know, it's hard for people to accept that God will love them for who they are. And if he does love me for who I am, then I've got to prove myself worthy of that love, and I've got to live this very stringent, very strict life that says, don't do this, don't do that, and don't go there. Don't wear this, don't talk to those people. You know, you need to isolate and separate yourself from the world. That's the opposite of what Jesus did. He didn't abide by all the rules, he broke them. in a sense of for the compassion of taking care of people. So what has happened in many churches, and like even this person, you know, that basically told me I'm greedy because I work, I'm still a pastor, you know, they have this blinders that say, we're the only ones going to heaven and everybody else is wrong, and here's this guy who does, he's a minister and he's not of our faith, so therefore he's wrong. And he's something wrong with him because, you know, and I went up and, you know, this person, I said to them, you know, he's 80 years old and he has made this milestone and everything. And I said, you know what, you're going to be here till you're 100, because I talked to God and he said he don't want you till then. Okay. Do you know what his response was? He says, you're a liar. You talked to God and he told you that? You got to be a liar. It's like, that was a joke, you know. I'm sure the devil will take you right away, you know. But, you know, anything to find a fault, to substantiate the blindness. And you see, in our lives, We don't want to be blind to what the world is around us. We want to see how God wants to lead us into the world, how that God is going to take us to a certain place. The idea of going to the caves and living out a solitary life of separation from everybody in society to become a holy person, that didn't work. I mean, all it did was somebody could say, I have been in a cave for 30 years and I have separated myself to God. And, okay, what good is it? You know, what did you do? And a more complete acceptance is that God loves us for who we are. And he says that he's going to bless what we do, not what we do is going to make him love us. And what we do is not balancing the scale for all the wrongs that we've done, so I got to do the good to get in. And, you know, there's so many people on that one. Jesus, you know, forgive me. You know, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Yeah. And it's how that God wants to, if I am his child, I am his child everywhere I go. If God is at work in my life, he's at work in my life everywhere that I go. And if God is going to help me, and I pray that God would help me, he will help me everywhere that I go. whether it's at work or school or, you know, in the home, you know, whether, you know, on vacation or going to Walmart, God is going to help us, you know. God is going to help us not throw bricks at the person who blows the horn at you, you know. I had that happen yesterday. I pulled out of my, where we store our trailer. I looked both ways, and there was nobody coming, you know, and I pulled out, and I got clear out. I mean, I wasn't gunning it, but I wasn't really crawling, and I pulled out around, and as soon as I got straightened out, I hear that I have a camera that's in the back of the camper, and it also has the audio that it picks up, and I had it up full. And here is this person just blowing their horn, just laying on it, and it's ringing through the truck, you know. You know, you could, you know, if you had just had the windows up and so on, you could hear, oh, there's somebody behind you. But since I had the volume clear up, it's ringing through the truck, and I was ready to slam on the brakes and get out and go back and tell her, you know, I knew it was a woman. And so I didn't do those things. I remembered that I shouldn't do those things. And so I pulled over, and she came flying around me. She didn't wave or anything, you know. But I was, you know, for me, that gets me upset, you know. And I didn't throw things at her. I didn't get out of the truck and yell at her. I pulled over, and I, okay, I better pray for her, because if I don't, I will curse her. So start praying, God, take care of her, on as being as fast as she is and out of control. So anyhow. Yeah. I was hoping that I would meet her delight so I could pull up and blow the horn. I would love to get one of those train horns that just bellow, you know. Yeah. But that wouldn't be right, though, would it? No. So. Yeah. I don't have to worry about this. I'll get you at the light. But those are the things that naturally come to us, but spiritually are, okay, don't do that. You know, pray for them, let them go. Let it go. You know, practicing letting things go is very important. So anyhow, as he was teaching one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, okay, so Jesus is in the synagogue teaching. Now, if you remember a few weeks back, the leader of the synagogue, there are leaders in the synagogue who it's their responsibility to find people to speak. Okay, so Jesus is now entering in Jerusalem. This is his last couple weeks of his life here on earth. And so this teacher, this leader of the synagogue, invites Jesus to come in to teach, okay? And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. Here again, 18 years. The years are mentioned. So that we understand that sometimes we may carry things for a long time in our life, but it doesn't mean that we have to keep them. You know, well, I've been this way since I was, you know, 1918, I think I found this. You know, well, no, it doesn't matter if you found it in 1918. It doesn't matter if you found it yesterday. God can take care of it. So 18 years she's been sick and was bowed together and could no wise lift her health. So what has happened to her, she has this physical ailment where she's basically bent in two. I visit people like this, that they are so crippled over that their chest is laying on their knees and they're walking around trying to see. So in this case, verse 12, it says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Okay, so she's sick, she's there, and she's a plant, all right? Because the Pharisees, they want to see what Jesus is going to do with her because they know, you know, they can trick him. You know, isn't it something how that God knows people's hearts? And so when people try to trick us or try to cause us to stumble in our faith, you're just greedy. Let it go. You know, you're just, let it go. Blow the horn. Let it go. Why? Because it's not, just let it go. It's going to create something in us that we don't need to have. So when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. Okay, so Jesus doesn't do anything except talk to her. Huh. He didn't ask permission from the synagogue person who invited him in. Jesus simply called the woman in the front of the worship space and pronounced her loose from her infirmity. Her first response, therefore, he first released the woman from the bondage of imposed on her through demonic oppression. Now, this is not demonic possession. But anyhow, this illness in today's society is not demonic. It is, they have a name for it. But in this case, she was suffering from a spirit that was in her body and a physical infirmity. So people who are physically infirm are not under oppression. Make sure we know all that. So close. So this lady is there. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So first of all, he spoke the release of the spirit. And now, that was, again, and then he lays his hand on her. So first thing he did was speak to her, and the second thing he did was lay his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, everybody's watching, Pharisees especially. Jesus broke the rules. He healed on the Sabbath day. Now to us, that's like, that's a compassion ministry. That's something that all of us should be doing and be involved in. And so, and the ruler of the synagogue, verse 14, answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come out and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. They said, if you want to be healed, you should do it on any of the 6 days, but on the Sabbath day, you are not to be healed. You are to suffer through the rest of this day until you are out of the Sabbath, and then you can heal. Oh, aren't we stupid? Foolish. That we put, you know, and I think for myself, how many boxes have I put God in my own life that he is supposed to do it this way? There isn't one, I mean, there is not one request and one prayer, I think, we put this out there, it's a generalization. There's probably not one request that we've made to God that we haven't figured out how he should do it. I mean, haven't we? If you pray about something long enough, you have a good idea how it should be done. Am I alone in this? How many have done that? No one. Okay, so I'm the only one in the group. Okay, so, but anyhow, we have this, not only, we have this list and ways that it can be done. But God is saying he can do it any way he wants. Now, Jesus answered him. Okay, this guy's brought this accusation. Jesus has answered him and said, thou hypocrite. Hypocrite is an actor. You are acting. You are performing. You are a person on stage. You person on stage, you actor, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? That's work. You take your donkey, you take your ox, and you lead them to water. That's acceptable. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? It's because they want to know who they are. Their lineage, they're from Abraham. This woman's a daughter of Abraham. Whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, and be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. So Jesus had a way of being able to come right to the point. And I think that our wisdom that comes from God should be able to answer people correctly or divert things intentionally. You know, I told the person who told me that I was greedy, I said, well, you know, I said, well, God has given us the ability to work, and that whenever we go to heaven, we can't take it with us. So I just don't want people to come to me for it before I die. come seeking me out to throw me in jail because you didn't pay your bills. So that's what I'm, you know, that was my little diversion. And then whenever he told me that I was lying, I said, God don't want you. No, I didn't say that. I just said, okay. And I just walked away. So it's his birthday. Why spoil it, you know? So in verse 11 says, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. You see, whenever we say things, hopefully, you know, I think of the news and, you know, how people can misreport things, how that, you know, it can happen for any of us. I mean, if people were quoting us and putting it in a newspaper, what you say will not make the newspaper. They will rewrite it. And sometimes they will rewrite it to the intent that you said, and sometimes they will write it the opposite of what you said, whether it's intentional or unintentional, that's how it is. So whenever we look at this, we see how that Jesus is saying here to them that he said it in such a way that the adversaries are setting themselves up to come against Jesus for healing this person on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says the word so, I don't think he's saying it sarcastic, and he's not saying it out of anger. He's saying it out of direct response to their spirit inside of them. What you're doing and what you're asking or demanding that I do is not right for you, and it's not right for this woman. And they were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So the people that were in there rejoiced at what had happened. And the last thing of our lesson is in Luke 14, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. So this is Luke chapter 14, verse 1. That the Pharisees invited Jesus in, but they're all sitting there, you know, watching what he's going to do and how he's doing things, because they want to take notes so that they can find a way to convict him of some wrongdoing. So, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. So, again, here's another plant. They bring in someone who is sick. They present before Jesus someone who is ill so that they can watch what he's going to do so that they can find a problem with what he's doing. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, so rather than, in this case, you know, in the synagogue, he heals and then speaks to the Pharisees and the leaders of the synagogue. And this time, he doesn't do anything but speak the first. The first thing he does is speak to the people who are watching him, and they're going to find fault with what he's doing. And he says to them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? You know, here you are, you brought this person in who's sick, and you're watching me to see how I'm going to do this so that you can write me up with your breaking of the 811 laws, and you're going to find fault with what I'm about to do. So therefore, let me ask you first, what do you think I should do? Is it right to heal this person today? Well, of course, they don't want to be have the whole crowd that's in there that they've invited in to watch Jesus. They don't want to have them come up against them. Verse 4 says, and they held their peace. They didn't say a thing, because they knew how Jesus would be able to take the truth and present the truth in such a way to them that they would be convicted in their own hearts. And he took him and healed him and let him go. So here's this person who was a plant. God healed him. Jesus healed him, said it's okay to go. And answered them, answering the Pharisees, saying, which of you shall have a donkey on an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? If you've got an animal that falls into a pit, you have the right to help that animal out of the pit so that you don't lose this ox or this donkey, which is of value to you. So how much more so is the healing of this person valuable to God than your donkey or your ox? And they could not answer him again to these things. They just couldn't hear. They had it all set up. They had the perfect scenario. He's going to break the law. He's going to break the Sabbath again. Oh, he did. He broke the Sabbath according to their rules, but then brought out the fallacy of what they were believing as their way to get to God. So this is the way, and so that's Luke here in these two situations where we have Jesus healing on the Sabbath to basically confront the religious leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Herodians, and the leaders of the temple, how that they would set this up for Jesus to fail, but he didn't fail. He just simply saw what they were doing and was able to present the truth in front of them. So our take from this, I think, is to pray for God's wisdom so that whenever situations present themselves, that we have an understanding to say nothing, walk away, or say something that is from our heart, not from our head, that is retaliating or anger, but it is of peace and forgiveness and love, and hopefully can light the way and open their consciousness that, oops, that was a word from God. Father, we thank you for your blessing in our lives, and we thank you for the word that comes to us through your Spirit, and Lord, mostly through your written word. We thank you. We thank you for blessing this day and blessing our time together, and just make your word real to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So.